When we've reached our limits of adulting, it's easy to long for simpler times, like enjoying Saturday morning cartoons without a care in the world, or savoring every last drop of sugary milk at the bottom of your cereal bowl. Well, Kachava's new Cinnamon French Toast all-in-one nutrition shake gives you all the nostalgic feels and benefits. Made with real cinnamon bark for the richest, deepest, most authentic flavor, just two scoops provide the complete nutrition your body craves with protein, fiber, greens, and more. It's an easy upgrade to your daily wellness ritual. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the highest quality ingredients that taste delicious. Adulting may not always be fun, but at least you can stock up on treats without asking your parents for permission. So whether you're kickstarting your morning or fueling your afternoon, treat yourself to a sip of nostalgia. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off your first order. That's Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS. When we've reached our limits of adulting, it's easy to long for simpler times, like enjoying Saturday morning cartoons without a care in the world, or savoring every last drop of sugary milk at the bottom of your cereal bowl. Well, Kachava's new Cinnamon French Toast all-in-one nutrition shake gives you all the nostalgic feels and benefits. Made with real cinnamon bark for the richest, deepest, most authentic flavor, just two scoops provide the complete nutrition your body craves with protein, fiber, greens, and more. It's an easy upgrade to your daily wellness ritual. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the highest quality ingredients that taste delicious. Adulting may not always be fun, but at least you can stock up on treats without asking your parents for permission. So whether you're kickstarting your morning or fueling your afternoon, treat yourself to a sip of nostalgia. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off your first order. That's Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.
Welcome to the program. So I saw today, this is kind of crazy. So the Charlie Kirk's murderer, his defense filing was released. His attorney submitted it yesterday after the preliminary hearing. And it is actually insane. I've been reading it. And Lorraine's been following it as well. So the guy's defense is like, well, it shouldn't be a death penalty case because he only meant to kill one person. So the defense has just abandoned the idea of defending this guy at all. Now they're trying to argue just to save him from the death penalty that, oh, well, no, it actually only meant to go after one guy. So you can't kill him for that. That's wild. But you know who's the biggest person hit? It's Gal Sharpton. Her whole little narrative world of clickbait conspiracy theories just coming down in tatters, all due to the guy she's trying to defend and trying to free. They're saying that, well, the great risk of death aggravator that enhances this is, he only fired one shot and he intended to hit Kirk and nobody else was hit. Thus, there was no quote unquote great risk of death to anyone else. That's their whole argument. I got to be honest, this is like the first time I've ever seen anybody argue anything like that. Well, yes, he totally did shoot him, Your Honor. But he only meant to shoot that guy. Nobody else.
And apparently the law is even more nuanced than that. Like, even if there's a possibility he could have killed someone else, that's still not the threshold. It has to be a high possibility that he would kill someone else. So because he used a precision weapon, the defense is trying to say that this wasn't putting anyone else in jeopardy. So therefore, the death penalty has to be off the table. It's ridiculous.
One of the other things that the defense does not take issue with is the fact, and this was apparently also an enhancement to a charge that they're not disputing, is that there were minors present, like minors being under age 14. And the prosecutors, they're saying, well, you know, he didn't really know they were there. I mean, he was 400 feet away, but he only was up there for like 44 seconds. And he only meant to go after one guy. So that's like way different from, you know, like going after multiple people. What in the world? What in the world? But I don't know. I think that's insane that that's, so that's apparently what the argument is. We live in the stupidest of times. That's his whole defense filing is, well, you know, he's only going after the one guy. So, you know, you can't possibly give him the death penalty for this. He's only going after the one guy. And it was brought up that he had said, well, I had the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk and I took it. That was his direct quote. He wrote that and I had enough of his hatred. Now, they're not even disputing that. They're just saying, well, he didn't. They're trying to say that he didn't. They really are saying this, that he was not identifying his particular religion or politics or whatever there, because the state was trying to say he was triggered by the guy's tranny relationship with the furry, right? And that might be one of the motivating factors in him choosing to kill someone in cold blood. And this is so stupid. This is so stupid. I mean, clearly, yes, it was. So what did they... I'm still reading this, but this is pretty unbelievable. But like I said, though, Gal Sharpton's hardest hit. Yeah. Hardest hit. She was... I don't really care about this story because I find her to be so inconsequential and no one's going to think about her in 5 years. And she's never done anything for the conservative movement, literally ever. She went from, again, if you don't know about Gal Sharpton, she literally started as a race hustler suing white students over false accusations of racism. And then she went to target conservative gamers in Gamergate. So that's her background. And that was only like in 2016. She's always been a leftist. She just thought that but she's a grifter. She's a con artist. And she thought she could con people out of their money by pretending to be someone on the right. This woman would choke to death if she had to sit here and talk about actual serious policy. If you had a debate with her about any geopolitical issue, she would literally choke on her own stupidity. She's supposed to have a debate with some dude about this whole murder case. And apparently she's already trying to figure out ways to get out of it. Just like she's always tried to figure out ways to get out of work, apparently, or at least that's what the rumors say. Yeah, the rumors are pretty harsh on that. When you have a reputation of being work shy and not actually wanting to do the work, and it's a rumor that a lot of people have talked about, very interesting. Makes that whole welfare queen come off real, makes it more understandable why she would marry a gay guy for his money and be the beard, you know? I mean, as long as you can wear $2,000 blazers on your podcast of mommy sleuthing, then yeah, whatever. But all welfare ultimately at the end of it is the same, no matter how you dress it up or how many nouveau riche labels you put on it, right? That being said, so I just find this whole defense filing to be fascinating. It's just absolutely fascinating. So that is the latest in that. I'm not going to be like, I'm not Judge Judy. I'm not going to be sitting here following all this. You know, I'm not like true crime TV. I'm not, unless there's a ghost involved or Bigfoot, Kane. Or unless Robert Stack is hosting as we move, our partners that help bring you the program. It is our friends over at WebRoot. You want to be safe when you're online. And look, everybody lives online more and more these days. Everything is digital. Your kids are going back to school. You check their grades online. Homework assignments often downloaded online, given online. Grades are online. Your medical stuff, your doctor's portals, all online. Banking, shopping, and gaming. It's so much more than any of these things now. So you want to make sure that you're living a safe digital life. But the problem is that there are a lot of antivirus services out there that aren't optimized and modernized to actually provide the level of safety that we need in our current time. Unlike WebRoot, WebRoot lives in the cloud. So it's not loading up your hard drive. It's not loading up all of everything that you got and making everything run slow and just drowning out your services. This actually uses 33 times less storage space, scans 6 times faster, and installs 7 times faster. So that's less waiting, fewer interruptions, and protection that's actually protecting you without getting in your way and tripping you up. Based in Boulder, Colorado. So whether you're working from home, if your kids are gaming or scrolling, if you're banking, if you're shopping, whatever. And the other thing too, it doesn't matter if you're a student or a business owner or a parent or grandparent. Just don't be an easy target. Criminals aren't looking for the role that you serve in your family. They're looking for whether or not you're an easy target. So don't be one. Right now, get 60% off at WebRoot. Visit webroot.com/Dana and take advantage of this limited time back to school offer. 60% off at webroot.com/Dana. Live a better digital life with WebRoot.
Put all your gear on that you carry and then roll around on the ground. Now get up. all your gear that's on the ground, that's what you're not going to have in a fight.
Gun Talk should be in your podcast feed. Check out Gun Talk Nation.
What's it like to be blown up?
You know, if it's like C4, it's almost like a smack.
Hunting. Yeah, we talk about that too.
On your crosshairs, I like a thin crosshair.
AJ, you're really dating yourself by calling things crosshairs.
Your reticle, whatever.
Have some fun and stay informed with the Gun Talk podcast.
If you like what you hear and want to support the show, the easiest free way to do it is to follow the podcast and leave a rating and review. Seriously, 30 seconds from you helps keep this show going strong. I appreciate you. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour with you, Dana Lash. And if you missed anything from the previous two, you can go get the podcast. You can also find us YouTube, Facebook, and over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Yesterday, I talked about this weird story, and the reason I'm bringing it up right now is because I have another thought to this. I was thinking about this like yesterday. I was sitting writing a piece on this and working on some other stuff for the show today. And I couldn't get this other part of the story out of my head. So if you missed it, the story came out yesterday that Rama Duwaje, who is the overhyped wife of New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani, she personally demanded a taxpayer-funded security detail of NYPD officers to accompany her to Lebanon and Syria next month on a personal trip. Now, she's taken a handful of personal trips already this year. This girl goes on vacation more than anybody. I haven't had a vacation. When I'm not here, I'm working. When I'm not on air with you, I'm working. This chick travels and goes on personal trips more than anybody I know. She went on one of her last ones. Well, she was in Spain on a retreat, an Islamic retreat. Oh, sorry, quote-unquote Palestinian retreat, whatever the hell that is. And she was in India getting, you know, inspired by her for her art. And her art consists mostly of drawing pictures of herself. And it's weird. It's just not very talented. Anyway, she demanded a taxpayer-funded security detail to accompany her to Lebanon and Syria. Now, keep in mind that the U.S. State Department has classified Lebanon and Syria as level 4, do not travel. They both have that advisory. And it was Zohran Mamdani's spokesperson, Dora Pekis, who said, quote, upon the strong recommendation of the NYPD, the First Lady's security detail will be joining her when she travels to visit family in Syria and Lebanon. Now, the NYPD was entirely blindsided by this. And they said, hail no, H-A-I-L. They actually came out, what, like an hour after that press conference by Mamdani's spokesperson? They came out and said, we never said this. They were like, we literally never said this. We never strongly recommended that she take our officers with her on an overseas international personal trip. And in fact, their spokesperson said, quote, yesterday, the NYPD does not send officers to countries with level 4 travel advisories for discretionary reasons not linked to investigative work. It's not official business. It's not doing anything for the city. And they said, no. By the way, why in the hell would she need it? Because Mamdani described her previously as a private person. So why would private person Rama Duwaje demand taxpayer-funded security for a personal trip? Right? That's the big question. Now, remember, there was a big deal about calling her a private person after she faced calls of accountability for literally memorializing terrorists online. She promoted and posted and boosted Hamas and Hezbollah propaganda. I told you yesterday, the Washington Free Beacon has tons of reporting on this. Like, she literally celebrated plane hijackers, suicide bombers, child killers, actual child killers, their organizations, and other quote-unquote Palestinian quote-unquote martyrs and their associated groups. Remember, she had liked all these posts celebrating October 7th. She liked posts that labeled irrefutably documented and proven rapes on October 7th as a quote hoax. And she and her husband hosted a well-known Hamas sympathizer at Gracie Mansion. And this was, I mean, that's I'm not even getting into everything else on the list. She worked with like this genocide supporting quote unquote Palestinian artists and all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's like so much there. But my whole point in sharing that is that when Zohran Mamdani was asked about it and was asked about accountability, he dodged and said, well, she's a private person. His direct quote was, she's a private person who has held no formal position on my campaign or in my city hall, end quote. So that was that. Like, don't expect anything else because he never offered anything up after that. So why is Ms. Defund the Police private person terrorist good than entitled to taxpayer-funded NYPD details? She's not. And over at Substack, I included a bunch of posts where Zoe Mamdani was literally calling to defund the NYPD, the same NYPD that his wife demanded accompany her overseas. Now, here's the thing. Two things on this. I don't even know why she would have needed a security detail in Lebanon and Syria. Anyway, she loves Hezbollah. She's like celebrated their hijackers. So I don't even know. Like, she's a reliable stateside cheerleader for terror bloodshed. So they like her. She's an ally. But here's the thing, and this is why I'm bringing this up today. Because I mentioned this yesterday, discussed it yesterday. Why ask the NYPD? What possibly could the NYPD do in Lebanon? I mean, what training does the NYPD have specifically for threats in that theater of operation? Right? I mean, her family is there. They are wealthy. She comes from a wealthy family. Why don't they hire a private, don't they have hire private contractors, a private detail? Why doesn't Zoran Mamdani, his family's rich as all get out? They literally have a mansion slash compound in Uganda where he got married, and they had tons of security there. Remember, we had all kinds of photos of all the armed security that Zoran Mamdani had. Why can't his family provide that detail for his wife? Multiple sources have said she personally demanded NYPD. Why? Now, I did some research on this. There has never, ever been, ever, for a number of international reasons, legal reasons, all of it, there has never been a locally elected official that has traveled overseas on a personal trip with taxpayer-funded city security, ever. For obvious reasons. Number one, not for personal trips, right? Number two, the legality of it is insane. What authority would NYPD have in Lebanon? In Syria? What would they even know what to look for? They don't even know the language. They wouldn't even know if you're a security detail, part of your job as a security detail is be familiar with the area. You have to do advance work. So it's not just as simple as them like traveling with her. You have to do advance work. Security details go in advance. They go in advance, they make sure everything's cool, and usually one or two details, depending on how big your detail is, wait for you there, or if you don't have it that big, they go back and then they collect you, and you're the principal, so you come back with them. So this is something, this isn't just them going over there with her for a couple of weeks. This is like they have to go over there earlier, but she's not that damn important. She really isn't. She seems like Meghan Markle. She doesn't even work, for crying out loud. She doesn't work. She's a welfare queen. She's a glorified Lebanese welfare queen. That's it. So I don't even know why they would ask NYPD. That just doesn't happen. When you have municipal officials travel, if you're traveling in an official capacity and you're going for a work trip, it's a trade mission, or a foreign government invited you. That is all handled through a diplomatic channel. I've never been overseas on behalf of a foreign government, so I've never worked with a diplomatic channel. But if you're an elected official and you're going overseas and it is a work trip, there is a formal diplomatic process through which you go. And that is also the process that enables you to have security if it's deemed necessary for when you're there. And this also goes through the U.S. Department of State. It also is filtered through them. And then there's like, if it's a high-risk area, they have what they call a diplomatic security service. And so if you're going into a high-risk area, or if it's a high-profile visit, and again, it's related to your elected office, the embassy has like regional security, and then they work with this diplomatic security service that can monitor the official's safety. But even then, they're not like a full-time detail. She wanted that. A full-time detail means they're with you everywhere. They even check the bathroom before you go in. That's what she wanted. That's not even what that does through the diplomatic security service. So typically, you have a private security firm that you would contract to go over. So when I went and I was in Israel, with a Christian group. They contracted a private security firm that is licensed and can operate in that area, in that country. You can't bring in a detail like that. You can't, you know, I'm not a diplomat and I'm not, you know, a government person and I'm not working with government. So I don't qualify for any of the diplomatic stuff. So you have, and that's easy to do. You don't even have to work through the State Department to do that. So why didn't they do it? Now, if you're asking me and I'm telling you, I feel like this was an attempt at a stunt that backfired on them. That's what I'm kind of, and there's another aspect to this that I'm going to get to in a moment, but it feels like this was a stunt that backfired. Like they were going to have NYPD, even though there's never been ever a local or municipal elected official that went overseas for a personal trip and had taxpayer funded security like that. There's never been that. It makes me feel like they were trying to use this as a stunt to stunt on NYPD. But also here's something else. She's apparently going to be over there the same week that Netanyahu's scheduled to be in New York. Now, I don't know how many officers you need with NYPD, but was there going to be something like, can you imagine you take NYPD over there? Oh, then you're going to stage an international incident while Netanyahu is in New York. I mean, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I find it really, really weird. I also don't think that they anticipated that the NYPD was going to hit back as hard and as fast as they did. They did not allow that narrative to get legs. They were on it. They were like, hell no, this does not happen. And they're right to say that. That never happens. NYPD would never say, well, we recommend she take us. That is ignorant. His office lied. And now he's got egg all over his face because he got caught lying. So you have the terrorist sympathizer anchor babies that were caught lying, I think, because they were trying to set up NYPD for a stunt the same week that apparently Netanyahu is going to be in New York. I think they were trying to set up a stunt. Have her over there. Have NYPD. I mean, it is just bizarre. And I was thinking about that after I got off air. I'm like, that is still sticking with me. Why would they have NYPD? That is not the standard operating procedure for anything like this. And the fact that they made it clear, and by the way, when they said sources, this came from her channels. His spokesperson verbatim said that NYPD demanded it. And within the hour, NYPD was like, the hell are you talking about? That is never, A, that's not even legal. It's not even logical. And there's no precedent for it. What are you talking about? So I'm just saying, I think that they thwarted a stunt and it backfired on the Mamdanis. And now they got egg on their face. So that brings me to ask, well, what else do they got planned? Because usually if there's one stunt plan, there's usually another. So that's why that stuck out to me. And I thought about that all day yesterday after I got off air. And then I started looking into the history. I mean, I went all the way back to like the beginning of the founding of this nation. This would have been the first time that this happened in history where you had city police go. So that tells you something. And the fact that his spokesperson went out and so like valiantly, like so confidently said that they demanded this, knowing full well that they didn't. So by the way, Mamdani said, oh, it was a miscommunication. No, it wasn't. You lied because you were trying to pull a stunt on NYPD. They were setting them up for something. I guarantee it. They were setting them up for something. All right, we got more on the way as we move. This is why Dana is not a police officer. Just, I would be beating everybody. Our partners that bring you the, there's no good way to segue out of this. It's Super Beats. Just take it, for crying out loud. Two chews. They taste like candy. It's going to help your healthy blood flow, which supports your heart health, your healthy blood pressure, your circulation, your daily energy. The Super Beats company, which is owned by Human, We've been talking about them for years, and there's a reason why they're backed by real science. It's not marketing hype. They don't have to go out there and say they're the best because they're used by more people than any other brand. It proves they're the best. They were founded out of UT, their health science center. It was all about research focused on blood flow and nitric oxide. And this is why they are trusted by more doctors, pharmacists, and cardiologists than any other beep brand. It all is about heart health and healthy blood pressure, circulation support, daily energy. Two chews a day is all it takes. Clinically studied ingredients shown to deliver nearly 2 times more effective blood pressure support than diet and exercise alone. Now they've got a watermelon flavor, but when it's gone, it's gone. Super limited edition. This may be actually the last couple of weeks for it. So if you have not ordered the watermelon flavor yet, you need to. It's brand new, and you can get it at human.com/Dana. Also, check out how you can get a free 30-day supply before they sell out. Get that limited edition watermelon at human.com/Dana. The election last night, let me go back to this for a moment, because I know that this is the big thing that everybody's freaking out over. And I wrote, actually, let me go to this. I wrote a couple of pieces. One went out on Substack this morning, and it kind of has something to do with this. The other one went, what did I have? The other one was out last night, I believe. I know, I have like 4 other drafts going. I don't know what I'm writing anymore. It's just, there's been so much that's been going up there. So I want to focus on this for a minute, because I feel like there's something you really need to know, that there's a couple of different things in play. First is what I said last segment about this idea that Democrats aren't really beating these DSA candidates in these primaries. And I will say that every single one of them has been relatively close. I think the one in St. Louis, Kane, the first congressional, was relatively close.
Yeah.
Wesley Bell and Cori Bush. And I think this thing with Crowley and Hong in Wisconsin was fairly close as well. I mean, it was literally like going down to the 11 o'clock hour as people were finding ballot dumps. Oh, now she's in the lead. Oh, look at this. They found a sack of ballots behind the Toys R Us. It's just crazy. So now I guess it's going to be a Hong in the lead. Oh, well, looky here, though, Midge. We just had Mr. Crowley who found a whole other separate sack of votes that was behind the 7-Eleven. Believe it or not. Wait, this is different from the sack that was found behind the Toys R Us. Yes, Midge, that's correct. Very different. And I guess now, apparently, this puts him in the lead now. He's in the... Oh, well, wait a minute. News breaking. I mean, literally, that's what it was last night. I remember one time I think this was in 2012. And I think it was Iowa. And we literally, it was one of those things. I used to have to go to Atlanta when I was the token conservative at CNN at the time. And we'd have to go to either New York, mainly Atlanta. I was in Atlanta every week. I was on a plane every week. Still homeschooling my kids too, believe it or not, which is insane when I think about it. I don't know how did I live? I'm like, how did I sleep? I don't even know what I did. So the primary, Iowa caucus. And I can't even remember what to, Iowa caucus. And I just remember at one point we had the situation. It was Democrat primary where this person's the, oh no, now it's this person. Oh, but oh my gosh, look at it right here. And it was like 1 a.m. I was still on set. I had a 6:05 a.m. flight when I still lived in St. Louis. And my radio program was only regional at the time. And I had to get on a plane to get back to my broadcast because I didn't have a nice little studio in my house. And I had to get back to the station. And I remember sitting there at 1 a.m. And I think I was sitting next to James Carville, who had his head in his hands at that point, and I think was sleeping, sitting up. And right when we think we're about to get the signal from production that, okay, you're going to be able to go after this. We're going to do like one more segment and then have a commercial break. And at which point we're going to come unmic you and we'll go from there, right? And so we're like, okay, great. And then there was literally a bag of ballots that was found. And it was found because Anderson Cooper was on the phone. He was the anchor. He was on the phone with this older Democrat woman who I don't remember what purpose she served, but she and her sister, as luck would have it, were driving her car and they had to stop by the grocery store. This was a big old long story. Mind you, it's like after 1 a.m. We are tired and hungry. I was done. And as she's on the phone loading groceries into her, she's opening her trunk because she's calling CNN. I guess they got in touch with her because their county was the last one to report. And they said there's a discrepancy. They had missing. Something's wrong with the ballots. And the number of people voted doesn't match the number of ballots received, et cetera. She opens up her trunk and I be damned. I'm sure this is on YouTube somewhere. She literally had a bag of ballots in her car. On the phone. And she's like, oh, and you could hear her and her sister freaking out on the phone. This was all live TV. At that point, Carville woke up. I'm not going to tell you what he said because I would be fined on air. He was mad and he wanted to go home. And she found this actual bag of ballots, this woman. And they were freaking out. And they actually were, and it did alter the outcome in that county, but it didn't alter the overall. It wasn't enough to put it over the hump of the primary for that particular, for Iowa. And it's just par for the course for the left. This is how they operate. They're so used to it. This is what they do. It's so weird. We're like, we go vote. Everybody knows where the votes are. There it is. Pretty easy, right? Pretty easy. And my point is that this has been going on for quite some time. Everyone thinks that these moderate Democrats, I don't believe that there's a moderate Democrat anymore. They really don't exist. You have Democrats that are staving off the inevitable that they facilitated. That there is no moderate. There is no moderate. It's the myth of the myth of the moderate Democrat. Because there is none. There is none. And I say that because remember when they changed their party platform to even mete out the pro-life Democrats, people like Zell Miller and others, they ended up being politically homeless. Zell Miller, I think, ended up going and speaking at one of the RNCs, which was really weird. And then that kicked off this whole thing of like Republicans and Democrats going and speaking at each other's. It was odd. But this whole idea of there being a moderate Democrat, they are just simply staving off the inevitable. That's it. There's no moderate. They all cave. They all cave. Every single one, they all cave. A friend of mine said that this is just negotiating terms of surrender. And I think that that's true. I think that's absolutely true. Because they still had to run super far to the left. They're still going to have to run super far to the left even, just to even keep that base up going into their general. They're simply negotiating their terms. This is Francesca Hong yesterday. This is cut 8. Listen to this.
We have built something that will change politics forever. The work we have done will be remembered forever. I know we don't have the final results right now, but
well,
what I do know is that we are ready to keep fighting.
See, they built something. Even if she doesn't win, they've been able to make inroads. Like I said, this is literally just everybody. They're just negotiating their surrender. The moderate Democrat is a myth. I don't want people to think, oh, look, there's still a chance. This is done. The DNA of the party has been irrevocably changed. Democrats are never going to go back to what JFK was. Democrats are never even going to go back to 90s Bill Clinton. Democrats are not going to go back to Michael Dukakis. They are not going to go back to any of that. That's done. This is all socialist now. They've been socialist formally at least since 2008. Big government programs, big government health care, big everything. That has not changed. And they've become more ideologically national socialists. What is that? Sounds very familiar. A little scary. But these socialist candidates are winning. It's only a matter of time. They're winning. And they're going to continue to win. They're getting money, and the right is taking the bait and being divided by the same people, really by the same ideology that is happening on the left. You're seeing that being replicated up on the right. And that's one of the reasons why I talk about it so much, because I think it's an existential threat to for any kind of GOP victory. I mean, the Democrat Party used these far-left ideologues as a get-out-the-vote apparatus, as a mechanism. And in order to seem sincere, they had to adopt a lot of that platform in order to seem like they were one of them and therefore had the authority to ask that they go and help register voters and go and bring people in to vote, et cetera, et cetera. So that's how this is. That is, they don't have a big tent. They don't have a coalition. The only power that they have is to withhold an endorsement. So if you remember back in Michigan with Abdul al-Salid, you didn't have Elise Slotkin. She didn't get in and endorse. She wasn't endorsing in that primary. If you look in the Mamdani primary, there were a lot of big names that did not endorse in that primary because they were trying to at least withhold the line the last bit they could. And hold the line not because they differ ideologically. They just differ about the means to go to that socialist end. The old guard, and I've explained this before, they believe it's like the frog in the pot of boiling water. You can't jack up the heat super quick because the frog will notice and jump out. That is what the people like the Mamdanis and the terror squad with Rashida Tlaib and all of that's what they believe. That's their MO. It's not that Schumer and Pelosi disagree with them on any of these points. They just think that it should be slower so that more people are moved into supporting that ideology, but that's not what these other new socialists think. So that's why I say there's no difference between these moderates and these hardcore socialists, really. There might be a couple in terms of how they view certain allies, but that's it. That's really it. They're going to vote the same way they all vote. They'll vote for all the socialist nonsense. And when push comes to shove, they're going to collapse on things like Israel and everything else, just as everybody else in the left does. I mean, that's it. You didn't see AOC did not endorse Francesca Hong. And an AOC endorsement, especially in a far left primary, is pretty coveted. She doesn't have any range of influence outside of that, meaning she doesn't have that range of influence with moderates and independents. But in a far left primary like that, that's a coveted endorsement. And she didn't endorse. That's very telling, is it not? That's it. That's like the favor that they perform for each other. I won't go after your guy hardcore, and you don't endorse my opponent on these things. So all of this, the Democrats, they keep saying DSA. I don't even like that name, Democrat Socialist, because it's a stupid, made-up, non-sequitur. They're socialists. And it's all the same is. It's all the same government control. There's just different shades of idiocy. I mean, even Lenin said that it's just the step towards communism. Our partners that help bring you the program. It's our friends over at Relief Factor. You want everyday relief from everyday aches and pains. Inflammation can quietly chip away at your freedom, affecting how you move and how you work and how you live life. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free, research-based formula designed to fight inflammation, the root cause of most pain. It's not a temporary fix. It works from the inside out to support your body's natural healing response. And so many people have tried Relief Factor. They received a testimonial from some guy named Chris who wrote them and said that he, quote, spent years doing physical work that left his feet aching every day. And after starting Relief Factor, he felt so much better. He accomplished something he had never done before. He ran a half marathon. And now he recommends Relief Factor to friends because he's experienced the difference firsthand. So again, it's not a temporary fix. Works from the inside out. More than a million people have tried it, and everybody keeps coming back to order more. Relief Factor helps you get back to walking comfortably, staying active, living life without constant discomfort. And most people feel a difference in days or weeks. You could be the next quick Relief Factor success story. Get started today. 3-week quick start for just $17.76. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF to speak with one of their friendly U.S.-based team members and find out if Relief Factor can help you get back to doing what you love. We talk a little bit about the election. I'm not getting into every Democrat primary. We're not going to do all that. We talked a little bit about the elections that were last night. Of course, you had Francesca Hong, who didn't go very far. All right, that's, you know, and still how it's not that socialists are losing. It's just Democrats have given up. One other quick thing. So I saw this from the Transportation Secretary, Sean Duffy, said that they're launching a new campaign to recruit video gamers as air traffic controllers, and they want to supercharge the entire hiring process to get the best and brightest. And they said so far they've had historic results. 94% of their hiring goal was met, fastest time ever in the history to reach that target. Over 2,000 hired, the most in a single year, and 2,000 of the best and brightest candidates in the pipeline, reaching the academy quicker than any class before them. I love this. I could do this. I love this idea. Yeah. Love it. Also, just make sure that they know that they just can't respawn like planes and people. Okay, it doesn't work like that. You know, there's no other spawn point. It's just one go, right? Just saying. So that's awesome. That's like a really cool thing to see. So do you remember this? Oh, gosh. I went and I found this. It's a Far Side cartoon. I remember this when I was a kid. And it's like these parents, you know, Gary Larson, who does Far Side. So this is back in like 05. And it has these parents watching their kids sitting in front of one of those old floor TVs playing a game. And in their thought bubble, it's a picture of a want ad and it want ads. And it says Nintendo experts needed $50,000 salary bonus or looking for good Mario Brothers player. Or can you save the princess? We need skilled men and women, $75,000 plus retirement. And this is the one I'm talking about right here. And like, do you know a Nintendo expert? Please read him or her this ad and all this other stuff. And it's like, oh my gosh, Sean Duffy just made this a reality. Yep. This is no longer just a comic for Far Side. It's reality because now you can be an air traffic controller. That's so cool. So yeah, I thought that was hysterical. Oh, dreams do come true. Okay, you guys ready for something nuts? What was that?
I'm bracing myself.
Okay, so if you follow me on X, you've seen this video. I've tweeted it out, so you've seen it. This, how do I describe it? It is a video of this insane woman. It started as a traffic stop, right? Now, what happens with a traffic stop? What do you not do during a traffic stop? Oh, one thing that you don't do is get out of the car as the officer is approaching you. And why is that? Well, for a number of reasons. It's to keep you safe, to keep the officer safe, because actually the most dangerous types of interactions, and we've talked about this a million times on the show, for police are these traffic stops. That's when the chance of the officer getting hurt or getting shot and killed increases dramatically. So the cop pulls this chick over because she's speeding, and it could have been just a simple speeding ticket. Maybe not even. Maybe he wouldn't have even cited her. But she immediately decides her best response is to be crazy. Now, there's something I want you to watch in this. First off, she's nuts. I don't think that she's actually crazy. I think she's this entitled bee who's just having, I think she's a tantrum. She's having a tantrum. I'm going to be honest. I don't think all the people saying that they have mental illness have mental illness. I think a lot of them are just bitches. I really do, who are just having absolute tantrums and they refuse to deal with cause and effect in society. Now, I'm not saying for people who have listening comprehension that I don't believe that there isn't mental illness. I do. But do I think that as many people are mentally ill as claimed? No. And I don't think this chick is either. I think that she is indulgent and entitled and self-obsessed. And she's just a brat who was never taught how to manage her feelings, apparently. Or she was coddled and given everything and never expected to manage anything. You don't act like this. I mean, she knows the consequences. But she thinks that because all these people have been filming all of these encounters now and all this stuff with ICE and being able to ignore that, because there's no, like, you don't see a serious effect, she thinks that she doesn't have to follow the law. So that's the first thing. The second thing, I want you to really appreciate the calm demeanor and the kindness that every single one of the professionals that you see in this video, the kindness with which they treat this woman, they are kind. They don't yell at her. They don't raise their voice to her. They're not even rough with her physically. I would have hauled off and knocked her damn teeth out of her head like within 5 seconds. Oh, you're out of the car? Pop. You're done. They are so, they take a lot. And I just want that to be appreciated. This is cut 16. Go ahead.
In the car. Stay in the car.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have time for this.
No, you're staying in the car.
No, I simply don't have time.
Stay in the car. Please. Stay in the car.
Can I help you, sir?
Stay in the car. You're being pulled over.
Thank you.
She thinks she's going to...
Send me another unit. Stay in the car.
I need to go.
No, I need to see your license, registration, proof of insurance.
I can't do that.
You're going to be placed under arrest.
That's fine.
Okay.
Hands don't touch me. Don't touch me. I'll put my hands anywhere. Just stop touching
me. Hands behind your back.
Stop touching me.
Hands behind your back.
Stop touching me.
Turn around. Hands
stop touching
your back.
Me, and I will put my turn hands around. Behind my back. If you stop touching me, put, I will
turn
put my
around.
Hands.
Hands behind your back.
Okay,
you're going to be placed under arrest. Turn around. Hands behind your back.
Please stop touching
you're
me.
You're placed under arrest. For obstruction.
Orders.
Hands behind your back.
Of what? Justice?
Yes.
This is justice.
Yes.
I have somewhere to be, man.
Hands behind your back.
So does he.
No.
The officer calls for backup as the suspect refuses to cooperate with any of his instructions.
Duh, we know this, dummy.
Turn around, hands behind your back. Please, do not do this.
I'm not doing that.
You see how these leftists think that they can get away with all this stuff?
Cops, they beat the shit out of me.
No one believes you.
We're not looking to do that.
But I can see why.
I just see you.
Placing you under arrest.
What?
Turn around.
What did
put
I do?
Your hands behind
what
your back.
What did I do?
You're,
what did
you're
I
being,
do?
You're placed under arrest.
Why?
For obstruction.
Of what?
A motor vehicle stop.
A motor vehicle stop.
You're looking to leave. Turn around, hands behind your back.
I'm looking to, yeah, I'm looking turn to leave around. This situation.
Well, tough. You should have complied and would have gotten in it. You would have already been done. You already been done
can
and out.
Take me to the hospital?
He seems really nice. Like, you're he would have probably just not have decided to.
Right now. Take me to the hospital.
Oh, please, like, tell, you gotta fast forward.
They probably missed me.
Stop.
Look, she gets crazier. Can you fast forward it to where she's screaming at them in the car?
I don't know if they got the full video. Hang on.
Can we, because I just want when she's in the car and then when they get her to the hospital, because she demanded to be taken to the hospital for no other reason than she's just, I know it was a 9-minute video. I know Steve is like, dear heavens. Was it 9 minutes?
Yes.
Was it really?
Yes.
Because I watched the whole thing and it didn't feel like 9 minutes. Yeah. Maybe because I was trying to envision all the ways I choke her out.
Yeah, it's action-packed.
Okay, Holly. He calls a female officer in to deal with her. Because she's like, I don't need to touch me. And then she makes up some BS about, no, the last man that touched. I'm like, I don't believe you. I don't believe you because it seems situational. If you first off, people don't sit here and put themselves in positions like this. Yeah, so here she is putting her in the car. He's putting her in the car so nice.
I love it when men touch me when I ask them not to.
Oh, my gosh. Shut up.
Doesn't bring up any bad memories.
Oh, shut up. You're so stupid. This is so stupid.
Please, take me to the f***ing hospital. Okay. If I scream more, will you f***ing take me? Okay. Now!
Oh, my gosh.
How about now?
I'd have hit her.
What about now?
This is just her having a tantrum.
You're
upset. Okay, so now if you want to, I won't make this. Like the lady officer is trying to like shove her in the car. I would have thrown that bitch in the back of the car like a sack of potatoes. I would not. Oh my gosh, I could not do what police do. God love you, police, because I would literally be on the news for being the worst cop. Oh my gosh, I'm not even playing with you. Here she is in the hospital.
Look at all these women. How about the full peanut gallery? Why would we get the whole hospital down here?
Oh, it's crazy. Now the poor nurses.
Change. No, don't change. How about you just lay here and do nothing?
The nurses. I feel so bad for the nurses.
Can I speak to the doctor yet?
Yeah, you want to? I'll put her in there.
Yep.
She's trying to get out of the bed. This is how you get restrained.
Get away from me.
You're going to get restrained now because you're stupid.
Get away from me.
She clearly wants to be in the situation because she's not doing anything to get herself peacefully out of this situation. I don't think she's crazy at all. At all. I don't think she's crazy at all. I think she's just up and she's having a tantrum because she got in trouble. Right?
Yeah.
That's it. If she would have been like, oh, officer, why am I pulled over? At worst, she would have gotten a ticket. It's probably something she could beat in traffic court. But the guy's so nice. I honestly, if I'm being honest, I don't think he would have cited her. I don't know if he would have. But she immediately decided to choose none of the above and go straight to crazy. And I mean, like, crazy, like, tantrum crazy, irresponsible female adult crazy. Like I said, I don't think she's anything else but that. But how nice is everyone there? Even at the very end of the video when they're putting these restraints on her because she keeps trying to kick everybody and get out of the bed. How nice is everybody? One of the officers that's dealing with her is a big dude. Did you see that dude, Kane?
Oh, yeah.
What was he? Maybe. I think he was like 6'4", probably 250.
Yeah. That's
easy. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting there. He looks at the camera one time, like in a very Arrested Development kind of natural camera cut. And he looks at the camera like, are you getting this chick? Are you getting this chick? He's a big dude. And he's undoing the Velcro of the restraint that's a cushioned restraint because she keeps trying to climb and flip out of the bed and all this other stuff. She's screaming the entire time. So, like, also the medical professionals. I couldn't do that. The Lord has not given me patience. I do not have that virtue. I do not. I mean, if I want something, I want it now. I'll make my decisions. It doesn't take me long to come to a decision. I know exactly how I want to deal with it. And when I see stuff like that, well, then Kane, just go ahead and say that again.
Make chloroform great again.
Yeah. You know,
that's what we need.
Sidebar, does it work as quickly as it does in the movies? I don't want to try it out on anybody, but I've always wondered.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I have any.
I don't know if it does or not, but it seems like it would.
I know, right? Just wondering. I mean, they could have done that immediately. Oh, man, I would have taped this chick's mouth shut and immediately sedated her. I don't care if it's against her will. And then I would have just kept her tethered to the bed and put a curtain around her and not gone back except to maybe give her a drink of water and sedate her again. That's it. I'm just no, no, and no. But how many times do you think they got to deal with something like this a week?
That was enough.
That's enough to last a lifetime. You guys only watch like a minute of it and you're all like, oh my gosh, Dana. But think about how often they have to deal with this. Lorraine made the point that, you know, these cameras totally backfired, for instance, on BLM and all this other stuff. But I think it's all these progressive chicks, and you know she's a progressive. Oh, you know she is. You can tell by the stuff she was saying to the cop and all this other stuff. You know she was. So all these progressive chicks, they're all like those chonks tried to run over the ice guy. Up in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
They're all like that. Like, they feel like they're entitled. They're entitled because we were told by the feminist cottage industry that we're special and we can disregard everything. We don't have to follow law. That's how they all operate. I don't think that they got to follow any rules, any laws. It's not applicable to them because me too or something. I don't know. This guy's just trying to do his job and keep people safe and keeping this chick from, like, ramming into people while she's speeding. And could you see, that was a residential area they were in. So I'm sure for her to get pulled over, she's probably going pretty much over the speed limit. And I mean, you can see that was like a subdivision that she was in. So there's like stop signs and bus stops and things like that, right? I don't know. I'm just saying that just seemed kudos to those cops and the medical professionals, because I would have drowned ass in the next body of water that I drove past. I'm not even kidding. How much of your financial life exists as a number on a screen? Your savings, your retirement accounts, and investments are all digital assets. And that's one reason many people choose to own physical gold and silver as a part of a balanced, diversified portfolio. They're tangible assets that you can actually hold, and they've helped people preserve wealth for generations. If you're wondering whether precious metals belong in your financial plan, I recommend talking with Noble Gold Investments. For nearly a decade, Noble Gold has helped people learn about and invest in physical gold and silver. Their team will answer your questions, explain your options, and help you make informed decisions without the high-pressure sales tactics. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Dana to download their free investor kit. And for a limited time, when you open a new qualified account, Noble Gold will send you a free 1/10 ounce gold coin as a thank you gift, available for qualified gold IRA accounts and cash purchases. That's noblegoldinvestments.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the stunning fireball, how do you say this? I don't know. It's a meteor shower. It's a fireball. I don't name all of them. I'm like, look, heavenly bodies. It showed, apparently it's twinning with the solar eclipse. The solar eclipse is today. That's probably why everything is so
it's
stupid.
It's the Perseid.
Thank you. But that's, you know what it is? I think that's why everybody's stupid. That's why my comments look like a Chuck E. Cheese fight. You know, like all over social media. It's true. So I'm just, you know, but apparently, so we're going to have a meteor shower. Can one of them hit us, please? I mean, I don't ask for a lot. I realize that, you know, the chance of something like that happening is very slim, but still, there's still a chance. But they said as many as 50 to 100 meteors per hour may be visible under ideal conditions. Well, we're going to have a clear sky tonight, so I don't know if we're going to see anything in Texas. But, you know, so there's, the, you know, if you're one of those, you know, sky watchers, that's for you. NYC, Billionaires Row, the tower. So this tower, apparently every billionaire has like a pad in this place. But it's raining chunks of concrete and it's losing value. There are photos of it over at the New York Post where it shows giant chunks that have just fallen out of this, you know, almost 1,400 foot tower. It's on Park Avenue. It's 94 floors. And it sold for $22 million, and then now, which was $33 million just 2 years ago. And now they've got, what, a three and a half, almost $4 million gut punch, blah, blah, blah. I just don't care. If you're stupid enough to sit here and spend that kind of money to buy in a dumbass apartment overlooking a dismal city run by a terror-simping communist, then, you know, you deserve to have the drop in real estate value. Honestly, who sits here and buys in a concrete jungle like that? Reevaluate your life. I don't care. Alaska Airlines flight and MIA was forced to lock down a cockpit over passenger threats. So I was leaving from Miami International. They had a delay Sunday evening because of threats from passengers. Two passengers were removed from the plane. Have you ever been in a situation where you're on a plane and somebody starts getting lippy because you're on the tarmac for too long? I swear to the good Lord above, I will rip your throat out. If you make it to where our plane does not take off because you won't sit your dumb A double snakes down, I will rip your endocrine system out of your sinuses and I will send it to your family as like a flower stamped note card. Do not. I am not even joking. I will get violent. So it won't be you that you got to worry about. It'll be me trying to rip your face off because the plane won't take off. Anyway, two passengers were removed from the plane. They were later rebooked on another flight. I wouldn't rebook them either. You make the plane late because you're a D-bag? Yeah. Get off forever.
That's the weirdest part of the story for me.
The only way you can fly is through Trebuchet Air. Welcome to Dana Lash's Trebuchet Air. I'm going to slap you right here. Slap you right here in this little carriage and just yeet you into the atmosphere. That's how it'll work. And apparently, let's see, the contiguous U.S. breaks its record for hottest month ever. Everyone's going to scream that it's because it's global warming. It's because it's summer. And because don't you have like El Nino or Nina or whatever one they are, that's also contributing to the weirdness.
Kill Europeans.
Oh my gosh, they wouldn't be able to handle it. It's like 94 degrees over there and they're falling down in the streets and drowning because they're running into bodies of water and they can't swim. God bless them. As we move, the folks who help make the program possible, it's the people over at Burn a Gun. Except it's not a gun. You're like, okay, well then what is it? Well, let me just explain. So they've got a bunch of different models of this thing, but I don't care about any of them except one, the CL. CL stands for Compact Launcher. And look at it like this. It's not a replacement for a firearm. It's an option for when your options are limited because your girl has no problem throwing all the lead on God's green earth downrange at a threat. And then I'll sleep like a kitten with a belly full of warm milk at night. But sometimes your rights are limited and you got to have options. So this is where the burner gun comes in. Now, like I said, it's not a gun. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 60 feet away. Stun guns and tasers. Okay, great. They have one or two rounds. The Byrna CL has a 15-round shot capacity per cartridge. It's super easy to use. There's no recoil, easy target acquisition, but there's no permits. There are no background checks. There's no waiting period. You order it online and they bring it to your porch. And it does not care about gun-free zones because it's not a gun. It's not a replacement. It's an option that you'll be glad to have when your options are limited. So diversify your self-defense options today. Visit Byrna.com/Dana to learn more. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
Listen as students and young adults interview well-respected CEOs on our national radio show, RealWorldLeaders.org, to learn secrets for success and how to use them to propel their careers.
I think it was really inspiring how Mr. Levin just keeps on wanting to, like, wanting to grow and like learn more from like the people around him, his peers and his advisor, his father even.
Anya, how do you want to grow?
Well, I'm also trying to grow my communications. I just became the communications chair of my goals TA, student government.
Hey, Brett, this thing about communication, how important is that? And how important is for Anya to continue to develop these communication skills?
It's so important. And I think today, as kids, you have your cell phones in your hands all the time and learn how to look people in the eye, publicly speak and talk to people.
To hear more and to help us introduce your high school, GED, Work Ready, and college students to our CEOs, visit our website at realworldleaders.org. That's realworldleaders.org.
Welcome back to the program. We're finishing out this third hour. And we got some bits of audio to share. And then also this story that I wanted to get into. I'm going to save this for tomorrow. It's from the Washington Free Beacon. Abdul Al-Sayed. I don't know if people realize that he has been buddying up to the Nation of Islam. And in fact, they were present at his election night party. That's kind of a big deal, I think, right?
And also not surprising.
And yes, simultaneously a big deal and also not at all surprising that that. So it used to be that people would run away from those associations. And now they really don't feel like they have to anymore. If you notice, they don't feel like they have to run away from any of these associations. Because they don't think that there's anything wrong with it, and they think that they're going to be able to actually sell it. So that's, I mean, so something. And also, another quick thing. Apparently, so you have the Silencer Shop and several other entities, including Gun Owners of America. They've notified the ATF and DOJ of their intent to transfer suppressors tonight without complying with the enjoined requirements of the NFA. So that's something else to kind of keep. Suppressors are, it's so weird because all the times that the left wants us to be like Europe and then they have suppressors in Europe, it's considered like bad. It's considered trash. You're trashy if you go hunting and you don't use a suppressor. And then when you have people who hunt in Britain and they come over here and they're like, what? It is a thing. So
yeah, how dare you help your hearing?
How dare you? What? So that's something else to keep an eye on as well. And then also tomorrow, Zohreh Mamdani continues his war on Amazon. He loved the idea of government-run grocery stores using private contractors, but he doesn't like Amazon doing it. I know. All right, so today in Stupidity, Kayane.
We know the entirety of the left is a performative political organization. And with more performance, here's Jasmine Crockett in a new black scent. Listen to this. I've never heard her talk like this. Listen.
Yeah. Feeding kids, allegedly. Let me put the allegedly on there, y'all. I mean, like, there's a lot going on. Like, putting water on. He was doing a lot. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of nonsense that's popping off.
Okay. Do you know what she...
This is a girl who grew up richer than me in the richest neighborhood in St. Louis, and she went to the toniest private school that is as expensive as Ivy League in St. Louis.
And 5 years ago,
she was a socialite.
Didn't sound a thing like this 5 years ago.
Exactly. She's trying to appropriate like urban culture. So that does it for us today, folks. You can find us on the podcast, YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe, Substack, Chapter and Verse. Make sure you go sign up there. I'll be back with you tomorrow.